Welcome to the Daily Platform, sponsored by Bob Jones University. Today, BJU President Steve Pettit brings a message entitled, Is God Good? From Exodus chapter 34.
I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me, please, to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 34. We're actually going to look at basically an overall topic in the scripture. And we will come to these verses in just a moment, and there'll be many other places in the scripture that we'll look this morning. The concept or the belief that there is a God cannot be separated from the idea or the notion that God is good. If there is a God, he's not bad, he must be good. And consider the nature of this question. If God is good, then why is there so much evil in the world? The question presupposes that if there is a God, then he should not be evil. And this is one of the reasons why many people today become atheists, because of the existence of evil that is in the world. For to an atheist, it seems inconsistent and irrational to believe in the existence of a God who is wholly good, all wise, knows everything, all powerful, and yet at the same time, he allows evil. And since there is the reality of evil in the world, then God cannot be a reality. So, the belief that there is a God cannot be separated from the notion that God is good. So my message this morning is simply entitled, Is God Good? And what I'd like today to do is just simply declare to you the testimony of the Bible that God is good. Fact is, if he is not good, then he cannot be God. And the first thing I'd like us to see this morning is that the Bible, from its very beginning, declares without any question that God is good. Where do we see this? We see this in the first chapter of the Bible. Seven times it is declared that everything that God creates is not just a demonstration of his power, but it is an act and a display of his goodness. For example, the Bible says that God made the light, and then he said it was good. Now, how many of you like light? How many of you are scared of the darkness? Fact is, some of you don't even like to sleep without a little light in your room or a little hall light. Why? Because light is a blessing. The Bible says God made the heavens, the earth, the land, and the sea, and he declared that it was good. Do you like to go to the beach? Do you like to go to the mountains? Is it not cool to fly over the earth's surface and look down at 35,000 feet and to see the ground and to see the mountains? And we are awed at the display just of the world that we live in. The Bible says God made the fruit trees. Do you like fruit? Strawberry, bananas, grapes, apples, oranges. Isn't it interesting that every piece of fruit is a display of creativity, whether it's in taste or whether it's in shape or whether it's in color? And every piece of fruit that we eat is a display of the fact that God is good. God made the vegetables. Fact is, he made the broccoli, and all the little children said it was good. God made the animals. God made the fish. How many of you like to catch fish? Okay. God made the deer. How many of you like to shoot deer? Okay, yeah. God made dogs. How many of you have a dog in your house? You have a dog. We have a dog. For 29 years, we lived in evangelism in a little fifth wheel trailer, and so in my family, it was a rule, no dogs. But we got a dog when we moved here to Bob Jones University. Her name is Ariel. She's a standard poodle. She is about 10 and a half months old. She loves my wife. Fact is, every night when I go to bed, I said, Ari, get out. God made the dogs. God made the cats. We won't talk about that. He made the fowl of the air. He made the reptiles that crawl along the ground. What did he say? In everything that he made, he said it was good. Then God made his ultimate creation, made in his image. He made man. And at the end of creation, he said of all that he made, it was very good. How many of you like people? Okay, most of you. That's good. Hey, our attitude here is really simple. We like all our friends, some when they come and others when they go. You know, we like them all. But I've lived at Bob Jones University campus long enough to know that this place is a miserable place without people. Because when graduation takes place, this place becomes dead as a doornail. And all summer long, we wait for students to show back up again. Why? Because people are good. God created people. On top of Mount Sinai in Exodus chapter 34, God is revealing himself to the Jewish people. One of the most fundamental statements found in the entire Bible concerning the nature of God is found right here. Notice what he says in verse 5 of Exodus 34. And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him, that's Moses, and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth. The Bible declares that the very essence of God is that God is good. 1 Chronicles 16:34, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. But let me also say, not only does the Bible declare the goodness of God, but the Bible defines the goodness of God. What does it mean when something is good? Well, intuitively, we all know what it means. We know a good meal from a bad meal, a good day from a bad day. We know when we feel good, we know when we feel bad. We know a good job, we know a bad job. We know a good teacher, we know a, well, we won't go any further. We all understand that. Involved in the idea of good is something that is a blessing, something that is a benefit, something that is beautiful. When we say that was a beautiful violinist, are we talking about the fact that she's physically attractive or aesthetically she's a good violin player? Maybe it could be true in both cases. When we talk about the goodness of God, then what do we mean? And by definition, God's goodness means this. First of all, it means that God is perfect and total in his desire for our well-being. God is perfect and total in his desire for our benefit. And secondly, it means that God is abundant in his generosity to provide that for our well-being. Every day of our life, God shows his goodness to us in how many different ways? Just by breathing air. Every day, I take in God's air, and that is a blessing. So what is God's goodness? It is the blessing of his bountiful provision and his benevolent generosity to his own people. The Jewish people understood this. In Deuteronomy 30 and verse 9, it says, and the Lord thy God will make thee plenteous in every work of thine hand, in the fruit of thy body, in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy land for good. For the Lord will again rejoice over thee for good as he rejoiced over thy fathers. God rejoices in his being good to us. Fact is, God is so good, his goodness is indiscriminate. We read in Matthew 5 and verse 45, for he makes his sun to rise on the evil and on the good. He sends rain on the just and on the unjust. He sends rain to the fields, to the crops of Christians, and he sends rain to the fields and the crops of the pagan. To those who praise him and to those who curse him, God still is good. God does not discriminate in his goodness to mankind. His common grace flows to all of us, whether it's advancements in technology or education or medicine. People are living longer today. Why? Because God has provided his blessings. All of these are his blessings, and all of these are our benefits. And God particularly shows his goodness to us because God is so good that he's willing to save even the worst of sinners. Do you know the story of Jonah? The guy who spent 3 days in an underwater condominium. What's his story? Well, it's pretty simple. He's a prophet. That means he's a mouthpiece for God. He speaks for God. God said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. That's about 500 miles away, and I want you to go and preach to them. By the way, preaching to them meant to preach a message that if the people responded, God would bless them, and if the people didn't respond, God would curse them or judge them. So what does he do? He goes in the opposite direction. He goes down to the port city Joppa. He gets in a boat headed to Tarshish. That's like southern Spain. Spain's this way. Nineveh's that way. Why did Jonah run? Here he is on the boat. A storm comes. The pagan sailors realize he's the cause of the storm, so they throw him overboard into the sea. A great fish comes and swallows him up. He spends 3 days in the fish's belly. The fish can't stomach him any longer, and he throws him up on shore. God comes to him the second time and says, Jonah, I haven't changed my mind. Go and preach. And so he decides, and he goes to preach the city of Nineveh. And he goes into the city and he preaches basically that God's going to bring judgment on the people if they don't repent. They repent. And what does God do? He blesses the people. And so the prophet goes outside the city. He sits on a hill and he gets mad and irritated with God. And in Jonah chapter 4 and verse 2, we find why Jonah didn't want to go to the city of Nineveh. And he prayed unto the Lord, Jonah 4:2, and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore, here's why I fled before unto Tarshish. This is why I ran. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. That simply means that he will change his mind to the judgment that he will bring upon people if the people are willing to repent. Why did Jonah run? Because he knew that God was so good that he was willing to forgive the worst of sinners, the Ninevites, if they are willing to repent. Folks, God is so good, he will save you even though you are so bad. God is a good God. He declares it. He defines it. And then thirdly, the Bible describes the goodness of God. Now, of course, it would take us the rest of our life to describe God's goodness, but in just some specific ways, God is good, first of all, because God is so satisfying. We read in Jeremiah 31:14, my people shall be satisfied with my goodness. Someone has said this is God's desirable quality. This is the quality of God that draws us to him. God is good, and we are drawn to that. What draws us to a rose? I mean, what good is a rose, really? I mean, you can't eat it. You can't play sports with it. You can't really wear it because it's pretty thorny. But it's beautiful. Just the beauty itself has value. What draws us to the smell of a barbecue? Is it not somewhat satisfying? The Bible is clear that God's goodness is a satisfaction to us. Psalm 103 verse 5, who satisfies thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. Do you realize that we give God glory when we find in God the deepest satisfaction of our hearts? When we go to him to have the emptiness of our hearts filled with his presence, then God receives great glory because God is satisfying. It's his goodness. Let me also say that God's goodness, God is good because he sustains us. We read in Psalm 27:13, I had fainted unless I believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. How many times do people go through deep valleys and times of great despair? And if they didn't think that God was good, they would sink into oblivion. Think of Joseph. I mean, really? A guy like Joseph, whose brothers hated him and they sold him into slavery, they forsook him. He's a slave in a house, and he's tempted with adultery by the owner of the house's wife, and he says no, and so she falsely accuses him, and he gets thrown in jail. While he's in jail, he helps two people out, and they forget about him because they made a promise to help him. He's falsely accused, he's forgotten, he's forsaken. And all this time, he knew the promises of God, believed in the Lord Jehovah. And you would think at some point in his life, he would begin to get bitter and angry in God. And finally, the day came where he met the very brothers who sold him into slavery, and he had the opportunity to punish them, but instead, he brought them in and he loved them and cared for them. And he made a statement that no Christian should ever forget. When people do them wrong, Genesis 50 and verse 20, he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for what? Good. Be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Good never bows to the feet of evil. Good always wins in the end. And what does the goodness of God do? It sustains us in the dark times of life. It is that quality of God that draws us to himself. But let me also say that God is good because he shares that goodness. God is not stingy. God is a giver. Every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. It comes down from the Father of lights. The word cometh down literally means to walk down. That is, whenever God shows up, it's always good. Stephen Charnock said, God is more prone to communicate his goodness than is the sun to spread its ray and to give off its heat. God delights in being good. It's his sheer pleasure. He enjoys giving more than receiving. It is more blessed to give than it is to receive. God is eager to bestow good things to those who ask him in prayer. If you are evil and you know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? God is compared to an earthly father. He said, if an earthly father who is self-centered by nature still enjoys giving to his children, what about our heavenly Father who is perfect in his nature? Last semester, my children, who are most of them are out of the home, came down to see me and my wife and I and our son who's still here at Bob Jones. And so we decided to go out to eat here at a local restaurant in downtown Greenville. It's called Taco Sushi. Go figure. Sounds like heartburn to me. And so we went to Taco Sushi and we ate. And then they brought the bill. And they set it in front of me. And I looked at the bill. It was $110 for lunch. And I look at the bill and I look at my son-in-law. He's a lawyer. I look at my daughters who both have their master's degree, and they look at me like they're 3 years old. So I picked up the bill and handed the credit card, and I paid for the whole thing plus tip. And I did it joyfully. You know why? Because those are my children. And I love them. And giving to them is not a burden, it is a blessing. And you know what? I'm still selfish. Now, if I feel that way towards my own children, what about God towards his children? God's goodness is manifested in the fact that God is constantly sharing that goodness. And praise God, that goodness is immutable. It's unchanging. For I am the Lord, I change not. God's goodness is a quality that is eternal. God cannot be anything but good all the time. It never runs out. It is infinite. It is inexhaustible. There is no limitation. God is good. And one last thing, and that is, the Bible demonstrates the goodness of God in one great event. And that is, God shows His goodness to us when He demonstrates it to people who are evil towards Him. Where do we find this? Well, we go back to the beginning, to the first man, Adam. When God created the first man, Adam, he was made in the likeness of God. Think about that. He was like God mentally. He was like God morally. He was like God spiritually. What more important relationship could any human being have that is more better than the fact that he could have that relationship with God? Adam was furnished with a perfect environment called the Garden of Eden. It was a model of everything that is beautiful and pleasurable in this world, filled with colors, fragrances, and tastes. No wonder they call it paradise. Adam was fitted with a nature that was able to live with God because Adam was made originally righteous. What that simply means is submitting to God's command was a sheer delight. He reveled when God came to see him. He was passionate about his desire to be with the Lord. Think of the friend that if you spent 5 hours with your best friend, it would feel like 5 minutes. That was what it was like for Adam to be with God. Why? Because Adam was not sinful, he was sinless. But God restricted Adam. He had a right to Adam's will. And Adam was restricted to one tree and said, you cannot eat of that fruit. But it was that restriction that was used as his downfall. Because Satan, the enemy of God, the slanderer of God, came to see Adam's wife. And what did he do? He proposed a question with an evil intent. He said, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree? Eve, if God is so good, why does he hold back? He's restricting you. God, you must not be good. That's the conclusion of the question. And it was this deceitful suggestion that led to the world's downfall. Adam and Eve willfully turned against God and chose sin and its consequences. Now think about how bad that was. We often question God's goodness when we see so much evil, but Adam questioned God's goodness when he had never seen any evil. All he could see was the goodness of God. He never saw the bad to question the good, and yet he turned away from God. How bad is that? If you were God, what would you have done with Adam because of what he did? But God can't be anything but good. And so what did he do? It was at that point he came into the garden. He did not leave Adam in his sin. And he preached to Adam the first gospel sermon in Genesis 3 and verse 15. He said that there will come one from the seed of the woman that will break the power of Satan, which is sin and death. And Adam, you will be delivered. There is coming one who will reverse the curse, who will undo what you have done, who will redeem man from his sinful ways. And that is the first gospel message. Do you know what gospel means? It means good news. And the rest of the entire Old Testament is an unfolding of that good news message. When would it take place that this Savior would come? Where would it take place? How would it take place? By whom would it take place? With multiple promises and prophecies and pictures, it would be unmistakable who this person would be who would come to fulfill God's plan. And who is that one that would come? His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And he was born in the city of Bethlehem. And the angels made an announcement, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will toward men. God demonstrated his goodness when he sent his Son, and ultimately when he died on a cross to pay for our sins and rose from the dead, conquering sin and death, so that you and I could have a relationship with that God that we have turned against. God is good. And why does he do that? For one reason, because the goodness of God is to lead you to repent, to turn from your sin, to return to God, that we will come back to him, that we will put our lives in his hands, and we will follow him. Have you ever been out to eat at a new restaurant with your family? You get your meal, they bring it to you, you take your first bite. Have you ever asked the question, hey, what do you think? Is it good? And if you've like me, I've been to restaurants where I thought, well, this is the last time I'll come here. But many times I'll say, man, this is really, really good. And the Bible invites you and I to come and taste and see that the Lord is good. I hope you'll do that. If you've never been saved, or if you're away from God, give your life to him and taste and see that God is good. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your wonderful promises and your word, and we thank you that you are good. We praise you for that. Bless every young person that is here, that they would love you and serve you and walk with you with their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. You've been listening to The Daily Platform. I'm Steve Pettit, president of Bob Jones University, and I invite you to join us at our beautiful campus in Greenville, South Carolina, to see how you can be prepared academically and spiritually to serve the Lord through one of our more than 100 undergraduate and graduate programs. For more information about Bob Jones University, visit www.bju.edu or call 800-252-6363.